Thank you very much. What an honor it is to be here today. I had to watch my step there because Pastor Bill said he fell down the stairs while he goes. So I thought, I better watch that, those stairs. Good to be here today. Why don't we pray before we begin? I know we've been praying, but maybe we could pray a little bit extra today. How would that be? Let's just join the hand of the person next to you. Let's agree. Father, you said if any two agree, touching any one thing, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I pray the will of God be done here this morning at Austin Cathedral on a Sunday morning in January. We thank you for this new year, 2019, new beginnings, new things, new dreams, new visions, new opportunities, new connections. Lord, open our spiritual ears this morning that we may hear. Open our spiritual eyes that we might see. Open our hearts that we might receive today. We pray the will of God be done. I pray that we will hear what you are saying, Holy Spirit. We'll be able to take something away from this service this morning that we can carry with us today, tomorrow, throughout 2019. Anoint me your servant. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You know, the Bible says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. One of the things I've loved about my 52 years of preaching the gospel is that I've had an opportunity to give honor to a lot of people. And I love for people to participate in giving honor. Because that's what I want to do, give honor to whom honor is due. So I love to celebrate people. I love to celebrate their accomplishments. I love to celebrate their birthdays, their anniversaries. And I just believe that's the heart of God. So I love to do that. I'll never forget one time I was ministering at a Baptist church in Irving, Texas. It's kind of a stone's throw away from Cowboy Stadium, where it used to be. And I was... this pastor and his wife, they were having an anniversary, and I said, I'm going to receive an offering today, and we're going to send this couple on a cruise. And some guy stood right up after I made that statement and said, well, I don't believe we ought to be taking God's money to send somebody on a cruise. And I said to him, you sit down and you shut up. Because we're honoring the man and woman of God. And if they want to go on a cruise, Gene and I have never been on a cruise. I don't want to go on a cruise, but I know that some people love being on a cruise. I want to go home when I want to go home. I don't want to be on a boat. And they say, no, you can't go home for 4 days now. No, I say, no, when I want to go home, I got to go home. So. Anyhow, I just wanted to honor them, and I'm going to, I want to give honor to Bill and Sue Hart today, who are Gene and I's pastors. You know, I'm connected to hundreds of pastors, but I have one pastor and his wife, and that's Bill and Sue Hart. And I want to honor them today when I get finished with, I asked permission, they did not request this. But I asked permission if I could receive them an anniversary offering in a few minutes, not right now, but in a few minutes. But I'm honored that he would ask me to preach on this Sunday of reentry. Anybody ever been on a nice trip and a nice vacation? All of a sudden you had to come back home and go back to work. That's called reentry. So so they're probably suffering from reentry today, so they need some. They need some solace and some comfort and some encouraging words. Hallelujah. So, Gene and I want to honor this couple that we love very, very much. I first got acquainted with Bill Hart in 1986. I was ministering in a conference in Rockwall, Texas, and he came and introduced himself and said, would you come and minister at our church in Austin? And so I said, I'll pray about that. And so, a few weeks later, Gene and I came, 1986. I'm not sure what month it was at, but that was quite a while ago. And, you know, every day I pray for divine appointments and divine connections because I believe that God sets people into our lives. I don't believe we just need to go through life. We need to live life And we live life by having certain people connected to us and us connected to them. So every day I pray for proper relationships. The Lord spoke to Gene and I when we first started traveling after pastoring for 18 years. We started traveling in 1985, and he specifically said to me, I don't want you to go from church to church to church. I only want you to go where you have a connection. So we came to Austin in 1986. It wasn't in this building. It was another building. We immediately felt a connection with Bill and Sue Hart. And we have been together ever since. That's been a long time ago, over 32 years. So I value, Gene, I value our relationship with them. We're honored to call them our pastors. And we are thankful to be planted in this church. You know, blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people wandering around out there. They're not connected to any church. They're not connected to any pastor. They're not connected to any group. They're not accountable. And there's millions of Christians in America like that. Many people don't attend church anymore, don't have a church. They don't have a pastor. They're not connected to anybody. And that's not how God intended for it to be. God is a God of divine order. I was reading today, and let me read this to you. You don't even have to turn there. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, he didn't say exactly what order, but he says miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, etc. He said, are all apostles? No, they're not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. But he said, those in the body of Christ. But he specifically said, this is the divine order of the church. Now, you know, the church was not from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So he created the earth. And then next of all, he set marriage in order between one man, one woman. And then he set the family in order. Now, if you look at the order of people that is mentioned in the Bible, you'll find that Abraham was not the first one mentioned, right? I mean, you go way down, if you want to go to Matthew and look at Matthew chapter 1, then you go down the order and the son of, and suddenly you see this man, Abraham. And why was Abraham chosen to be the father? The book of Genesis tells us why. Because he was willing to command his children, or he was willing to have an orderly family. You know, God loves order. Huh? If I say now, so-and-so, Joe is going to be second, Joe does not stand up. What does he wait for? He waits for the one that we say, and Bill, he's first. So we all know what it means when we mean number one, who the number one football team is, or the number two team. We know there is a certain tapping order, right? And God loves order, and he loves order in the earth. The sun comes up at a certain time, goes down. The moon at a certain time goes down. The waters go out. The waters come in. God is a God of divine order. And when you have chaos in the earth, like a tsunami, that's chaotic. When you have chaos in the earth, that is not how God planned it to be. When you have chaos in a family where it's all out of order, it's not led by a father or a husband or the proper covering or things are, it's chaotic, right? And the same thing happens in the church. So we have the earth, and then we have the family. So God chose Abraham because he was a man of order. And he knew how to set the family in order by virtue of teachings. And the Bible said that Abraham dwelt with Isaac and Jacob. That's his son, his grandson. And then there was generations that followed Abraham. So I'm not preaching on the family today, not preaching on the creation of the earth. But then we come to the church. And we know that Jesus came to be the supreme sacrifice so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you following me this morning? I'm going somewhere. And so Jesus came not only to be the supreme sacrifice for us that we might have life and have it abundantly and eternally, but he also came in order to start the church that we know today, the church that we are a part of this morning. And so how did that begin? It began when he chose 12 apostles. Apostle is one that brings order. An apostle is one that gives oversight. The Bible said that the church is established on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, of course, being the chief cornerstone. That's why we've been worshiping him today, the chief cornerstone. So Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going back to my Father. I've spent time here. But I have anointed you apostles. I've chosen you. I've anointed you. I've ordained you. And you now give oversight to my church, to my body. So Jesus goes away, and the apostles, they go to the upper room. They're filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church begins. And it begins in a revival atmosphere. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. People are speaking in tongues. It's just, there's miracles, signs, and wonders. And Peter and John going to prayer, meet at the gate, beautiful, and pretty soon he's walking and leaping and praising God. And it was wonderful. And the apostles, they, after a while, they said, you know, we're serving everything. We're doing all these things. We need to give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. So they appointed some deacons to serve. It's a very sad thing we have in many churches in America where deacons think that they were appointed to run the church, to call the pastor or to hire the pastor, to fire the pastor, to set. God never intended that. I was raised in a denomination that actually believed that. And I've seen the tragedy of that because it does not say deacons first. Deacons were called to be servants. I trust I'm not offending anybody before I receive a love offering for our pastors. So the deacons were called to serve tables. They were to do some business there on behalf of the apostles. And so the apostles were going out and they were ministering, but the church started in Jerusalem, but it was established in Antioch. Anybody ever heard of Antioch? So the apostles send Barnabas, who's an apostle, they send him, who's a prophet, they send him down to Antioch. But the prophet is not the one who establishes the church. If it's built on the prophet, it's going to be wild and woolly, and there's going to be all kinds of revelation, and the prophet getting up saying, I got this dream, I got this vision, and we're going to build this, and we're going to do that. And so it's crazy. So Barnabas realizes he needs some help, so he calls for Paul, who is an, I can't hear you. He is an apostle. So Paul comes down, and he and Barnabas, they dwell a whole year in Antioch. And what are they doing in Antioch? They are setting the church in order, a divine order, because the Bible said Christians were called first. They were called Christians first. Where? In Antioch. So Paul is there. What he's doing this whole year is he is setting up a proper order for the church to function, for the church to operate in. There's something about order. Unity. There cannot be unity unless there's some order. And David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, in order. It's like the precious ointment ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, the dew descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where he finds that God commands the blessing. Boy, I love it when he commands a blessing. So he commands the blessing. So there became this order, and Paul, after he set things in order in Antioch, I'll give you a little history, he begins to go to churches in Galatia, goes to churches in Ephesus, goes to the church in Corinth. And so he begins to instruct at the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, he begins to instruct the church about the order, divine order. And he talks about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, where I read it. And he said, and God has appointed. Did he say the people appointed? No. He said God has appointed. God has appointed in the church. Are we the church? The called out body of Christ. We're the body. First apostles, second prophets, then third teachers, and then after that, miracles, gifts of healing, and whatever. He explained it a little bit further in Ephesians when he said, and he himself, that's a capital H, speaking of Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So we know that there is a divine order there. We have apostles, we have prophets, we have pastors, we have teachers, we have evangelists, which is known as the fivefold ministry in the church. And then we have the body of Christ that functions and operates, whose strength is in unity, whose strength is in order. Now you got to realize that the strength of a church is not necessarily how many people attend that church. At one time, I was a part, a leader in a church for a short time that was the fastest growing church in America. It had over 12,000 members. But that church does not even exist today. Because there was not a divine order about that church. So I can tell you in my 52 years of ministry, I can point you back to a number of churches who may have had thousands of members, who may have had major buildings. I preached at a church in Florida not too long ago that one time was a thriving church, had 6,000 members. The auditorium would seat 6,000. The pastor took me over there, and the birds were hanging out in the rafters. The building wasn't even being used. So what happens to families and churches that they seemingly may grow and be the talk of the town and the leader may be on national television, and then suddenly you don't hear about them anymore? Because there is not a proper foundation that has been built. And Gene and I take great comfort in being a part of a church where we know that there is a proper foundation and a proper order. And how can I point to the proof of that? A man and his wife, Bill and Sue Hart, who came here 36 years ago, and laid the foundation, and they came and they have stayed. I know of guys whose ministry has flourished overnight, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It may appear that they're on top of the world, 10 years. But I look for tenure. I look for tenure. That's why I'm honoring today and giving us an opportunity to honor our pastor and his wife who've been married 50 years. Can you imagine the sacrifices that Sue Hart has made just think of, I know you don't want to think about it very long, but think about it for just a few moments. How she has had to sit on the, or wanted to sit on the front row all these years, listen to some of the same stories that he tells, some of the same jokes that he shares, and keep smiling. I said to Gene on the way to church today, what you and Sue Hart must have had to gone through all of these years. And yet be a loving wife and be a considerate wife, be a faithful wife and a faithful mother and a faithful grandmother. And not only is it Bill and Sue Hart here today, I'm not being critical of families where members have gone astray, but when you look at their children and look at their grandchildren, you can say they've done a good job. And they've stayed the course. And they've laid a good foundation for us. And Gene and I feel very secure, even though we're not here every Sunday, because I do lead a radio church, and I got members all around the world, people that don't have a pastor or a church, confined one reason or another. But I'm thankful that we have a local church. We have a pastor. We have pastors. And a group of people that love us. And we're thankful for that. And I'm bewildered when people come into a church, never get planted. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they never get planted in a local church. They move from one place to another. They find the latest buzz or who has the best music or who has the best program. But they're not actually planted. They're just observing. They're observing. I said to a man not long ago, and where do you go to church? Well, he said, I go to church, this church from time to time, but I don't really know the pastor. The pastor doesn't know me. And it's just most of the time we don't go. Millions like that. But there comes a time when you need the church. When you need the body of Christ, when you need a pastor, and to be able to identify, he is my pastor. And be a part of that you're planted in the house of the Lord. But I'm bewildered when people follow someone else out the door because they disagreed with the doctrine. I'm thankful that to be a part of this church, I don't have to agree with everything the pastor says. We may have our disagreements, but he's my pastor, and I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to be planted. I'm not going to share that with other people if I have disagreements, because I'm planted here. And I don't think you'll have to think, well, wonder, Dale and Gene Gentry aren't here. Are they gone to another church? No, I'm planted here. I know where my church is. I know how to get here, and I know where I'm planted. It's more than a membership. More than a membership. And so in this church, one of the reasons I feel secure because we have pastors that have gone through years of challenges. I know the probably more than anybody in the church some of the challenges that Pastors Bill and Sue Hart have gone through in the past 34 years that I've known them. There's been people they loved and they trusted, and they took a bunch of people with them. There's been sicknesses. There's been challenges. They've been through the fire, through the flood, but yet they have remained. They're true shepherds because they have not fled when difficulties have come.
I'm thankful for that. I give honor to that. It is honorable, and I believe that God blesses people that honor those that are willing to honor others. And so I'm giving honor for 50 years of marriage today. That's a long time, but I believe it's a demarcation. And I believe that God has blessed Bill and Sue because their home, their marriage has been in a divine order. Their family has been in a divine order. And this is a church that's in divine order. It's not a chaotic church. There's something safe about this place. That's why you guys have sat in the same place for how many years? Huh? 28 years. Jack and Pat, they've sat there in those two seats for many years. What am I saying today? I'm saying that God loves order. And I believe that God is blessing this church because of divine order. Not because of different projects that the church is doing or different outreaches they're doing or how to gather more people they're doing. But I believe that God is blessing this church because there is an order about this house. And I want to affirm that this church is being led by not only a pastor, but an apostle. And whether you have recognized it or realized it or not, the pastor of this church is also an apostle. Apostle is one that gives oversight not only to the church that he leads, but also oversight to other churches and other ministries and people groups. Now I'm going to prophesy. I said all of that to say this, that I believe this year God is setting Bill Hart, your pastor, setting him into a new apostolic role in this nation and nations of the world. Because every church needs an apostle. Every church needs a pastor. I had a friend years ago that someone came through and prophesied that he was an apostle, so he changed his name from pastor to apostle. On his door, it no longer said pastor so-and-so, it said apostle. And slowly, some people began to leave the church. You know why? Because they needed a pastor, not an apostle. So, Pastor Bill Hart, he serves in a dual role. He is the shepherd of this house, the pastor, but he's also the apostle over this house and the apostle over many other churches and ministries and works. And we have a lot of chaos and confusion in the church of God in this nation, nations of the world, because they're not in proper apostolic order. In other words, some organizations, they elect, now I'm not casting aspersions today, so don't get me wrong, but they elect a certain man to be their leader for the next 2 years or 4 years. And if perhaps that group of pastors or churches does not like the leadership of this person, then the next convention or conference or gathering, they will nominate somebody else and elect them a new leader. That's what they were doing in Moses' time. We'll select our own leader and we'll go our own way. It's not proper apostolic. I don't know if I'm doing good or bad. I just don't know. I'm just letting it out. Apostolic order is not electing somebody. I know of a church in Western Oklahoma. The pastor was there 30 years, and they voted on him every year whether they were going to retain his services or not. True story. And if perhaps, when I first started the ministry, this pastor was taking me around, introducing me to other pastors, and the pastor said, "Well, Brother Gentry, I'd be happy to have you, but I just got voted out." He said, I didn't have enough time to make them mad and then make them glad before the election. So he was gone. So what happens is the average tenure, you know the average tenure of a pastor in America? This is going to be shocking. Some of you need to hold on to your hats. 2.5 years. 2.5 years. Because it was not in order to begin with. The people said, "We'll vote. You turn in your resume, and we'll vote on you, and we'll vote for the first time. We'll vote on you for 1 year, and then the next time we'll vote you in for 2 years. Then we'll have another election." Now, Daddy, you can be our daddy for a couple of years. But if we don't like how you're treating us, we'll get us another daddy. No? There's a divine order about life. And you business people, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, your business can be very chaotic because people don't understand the order of things. They don't understand who's already paid the price, owns the business, has made the sacrifice. They are demanding their own rights. What happened to the church many times? Well, I have a right. I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm talking about that we as a church need to expect special favor from a special God this year. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The blessing is commanded. I believe that the blessings of God is commanded upon a church that is in order. Hallelujah. That as a pastor, as an apostle, and a church that is willing, I'm going to ask you a very important question, a church that is willing to share their pastor with other churches and other ministries and other pastors and other people groups. A church that could be willing for other pastors to come in and say, "We need the covering of this house. We need the covering of the apostle." So to them, he will be Apostle Bill Hart. Are you all right with that? To you, he's Pastor Bill Hart, but to others who need a covering is very, very important. There's so many Christians running around out there with no covering whatsoever. You know, the Bible said even a wife is under the covering of her husband. Hallelujah. That's why the husband has some major responsibility. He's the covering for his family. He allows things come into his family because of certain choices that he makes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what am I prophesying today? I'm prophesying that God is bringing a new apostolic order. Even though you have a pastor who is an apostle, there needs to be a release of him. I'm not talking about to travel everywhere, although he may need to from time to time. But to be an apostolic covering for other churches, because there's a lot of churches, they don't have an apostolic covering. They have a pastor, but no apostle. First apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. I'm talking about divine order. And I'm talking about how God wants to expand the borders of this church that has been in operation since 1984, a long time, and God is saying, I need to enlarge your borders, but I also need to enlarge your responsibilities, if that's okay. And so what I believe eventually will happen, that other apostles will come with the release of this man of God. I'm not talking about he's going anywhere, but I'm talking about an increase of responsibilities. That other apostles will come and lay hands on him and confirm him as an apostle. You know, I was never confirmed as a prophet in the body of Christ, although I don't even go around calling myself a prophet. But I was confirmed by other apostles and prophets who laid their hands on me and confirmed that, confirming that I would serve as a prophetic voice to their church, as well as this church. There's a lot of people that go around calling themselves, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophetess. Well, who made you that? You can only become an apostle or prophet if someone confirms who is an apostle or prophet who confirms that you are a prophet or a prophetess. And we have people running all over, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophetess, I'm this, I'm that. You are not unless you have been confirmed by other apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. So what am I saying today? I'm saying that God is enlarging the borders of this church. That there is an apostle in the house, but I believe there will come a time, sometime, where there will be a special anointing, a special recognition that Bill Hart is not only just an apostle to this church or maybe another two or three, but he's an apostle at large to the body of Christ. Can you handle that? Yes. Are you willing to let other pastors come in and say, this church is going to be a covering for my church? I need an apostle. Yes. Because a pastor at a church with no apostle, no covering, is subject to all kinds of things. So Barnabas goes down to Antioch, and he's saying, I'm gonna do some work here. But then there's chaos, and he realizes, hey, I can't do this. I've got to have an apostle to come and set this thing in order and be a covering for this church in Antioch, and then at the church at Corinth, and then the church at Ephesus, and then the church at Galatia, and so forth and so on. And so there's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers, leaders. It's a chaotic situation. And when trouble comes, a long time ago, I realized, hey, I can't make my own decisions. So a long time ago, years ago, I submitted myself to a pastor and an apostle, and I would not make any major decision without their confirmation because I knew there had to be an order. I just don't want it to be me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. Me and Jesus. I usually get paid to sing this song, but I'll go ahead. Me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. Me and Jesus. We got it all worked out. But me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. We don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. We are. Years ago, I heard these pastors say, I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to start me an independent church. I said, you're going to be independent? Yeah, I'll just be me. I'll tell everybody what to do. So pretty soon there was, they were there and then they were not. I'm talking about an order. And this church has laid a foundation. Thank you very much. I'm encouraged today. I may put that on a record, a 78 RPM. Donna, you've been sitting there for a long time. How long have you been sitting there? About a year longer than me. Yeah, you were here when the first time I came. So what am I saying? I'm talking about a safe place. Huh? And the real thing is, are we growing numerically? No, that's not the real thing. The real thing is, are we growing spiritually? Are we impacting the church? Are we impacting the nation and nations of the world? And are we going to provide a covering for other pastors, other ministries that may not have an apostolic order about their lives or their ministry? And I'll tell you, there's chaotic things happening in our nation, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is just take a peek or two at the news, the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock. You know that it's a chaotic situation. And so our nation needs a divine order that I believe will come with revival, spiritual awakening, people turning to God. But the church needs to lead the way. The church. And I believe that Austin Cathedral, new name for a new day. Somebody said, you like the name? I like the name. I don't care what you name the church. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. I'll just be here. Just tell me. I know where the address is. Now, if you move next Sunday and I don't know where you went to, that might be a different thing. Order. I think we ought to pray a while. Y'all get on your feet.